You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today we're starting a new series called Radical, and we're going to be taking the next few weeks to talk about the radical life of purpose that Jesus calls us to as his followers. So to start things off, I actually Googled the definition to radical. Yes, with all of my years of seminary training, I Google things just like you. And here's what the definition came back as. Radical is relating to or affecting the fundamental nature of something, far-reaching or thorough. Now hold that thought for a moment. When most of us think about the word radical, we probably don't think about ourselves. Most of you probably wouldn't describe yourself as being a radical person. Maybe when you think about someone who's radical, you think about a political radical or somebody who's trying to overthrow the government or somebody like this crazy person in the news recently who was mailing bombs to people, right? Somebody who's radical. Maybe you think about a world leader, somebody who's changed the world like Martin Luther King Jr. or Gandhi or Mother Teresa. You would say like that's a radical person who, you know, made an impact on world history. Or maybe you think about a great business leader who's changed the way we experience the world. Somebody like, you know, a Steve Jobs or Elon Musk or Bill Gates. You'd say, you know, that's somebody who's radical. But most of us, when we think about ourselves, you know, you would say, Pastor, I'm just pretty normal. Like, I'm just trying to live life. I'm just trying to make it to work on time. You know, I'm just trying to pay the bills, keep up with the house, raise my kids, actually make it to the gym every now and then, you know, just keep up with the laundry. Come on, how many of you know that half the battle in life is keeping up with laundry? Can I get an amen? If you can overcome your laundry, there's nothing you can't do. Some of you parents might relate to this meme that we have for you today. When you ask the kids if they have any washing, you ever had a pile like that before? You missed laundry for like 1 week and you need a forklift to load the washing machine. But I think most of us feel like, you know, I'm just a pretty normal person. But can I just tell you, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Christ, you've been called to a radical life, okay? Because to be a Christian, it's more than just to go to church. It's more than just, I got baptized or I got confirmed or I went to Sunday school or I believe, you know, in the Christian faith. No, to the essence of being a Christian is to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to be a disciple. And so if you're a follower of Christ, you've been called to a life of great purpose. You've been called to a radical life. To use our definition, your Christianity, it should affect the fundamental nature of your life. Jesus said he came to give us life and life more abundantly. What a shame it would be for us as followers of Christ to live an ordinary life, to just get caught up in the rat race and the hustle and bustle of life and miss out on the deeper meaning and purpose that God wants to infuse into our everyday lives. And so we're going to talk about this for the next few weeks. We're going to talk about embracing this life that Jesus calls us to, how to put this into action. We want to go after everything that God has for us. Our heart is to love God better, to know him more, and to embrace this radical life of following Jesus. Now, today, we're going to jump right into our text, which comes from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. Let me set this up for you. This is when Jesus began to call the very first disciples to follow him, men who would go on to be famous apostles whose names you would recognize. And so this is Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, and he calls these ordinary men to experience an extraordinary life. Look at this with me. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Now, I've always thought this was a little bit curious. Like, here's Jesus. He shows up. These guys are in the middle of working. He calls them to follow him, and he says, I'm going to teach you how to fish for men. Like, what does that mean? If I'm like Peter Andrew, I'm like, what does that mean? We're going to catch people? We're going to kill people? Like, what is this all about? But nonetheless, they follow him. And then look at verse 21. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. So these disciples drop everything to follow Jesus. Here they are. fishing by the Sea of Galilee. By the way, pray for me. Tomorrow I'm leaving on a week-long study tour of the Holy Land with Pastor Jeff, my pastor, and my dad. It's going to be a very special trip, and I'm looking forward to getting to see the Sea of Galilee and walking where Jesus walked, the story we're talking about today. So keep me in your prayers as I travel this week. But here's Jesus. He shows up the Sea of Galilee, and he calls these disciples, and they drop everything to follow him. And it just kind of amazes me. Sometimes we're so familiar with the story, you know, we need to kind of let it hit us afresh. I mean, you have to understand, okay, here's Jesus. He calls Peter and Andrew, and this is ancient times. It's not like modern times where they can just take paid vacation leave to follow Jesus, okay? Like when you were a fisherman during this time, whatever fish you caught, you brought to market that day, you sold them, and that was like your money for the day to buy food for your family. This is a big deal, okay? Then he goes to James and John, two famous apostles, the sons of Zebedee, and it says they left their father. Other translations tell us they left their father in the middle of mending the nets. They stick their dad with the work, okay? Now, I'm a dad of three boys. I would be ticked off if my kids did that to me, okay? There's a reason I have three sons. It's because we believe in child labor in the Ziegler house, okay? I am not taking out the garbage myself for the next 20 years. Can I get an amen, somebody? And so they just leave Zebedee hanging, you know, in the middle of mending the nets. Why would they do this? Why would the disciples just drop everything, their livelihood, put their lives on hold to follow Jesus? Well, when you understand the background here, the historical context a little bit more, then the story makes more sense. See, you have to remember that Jesus was a Jewish rabbi living in the first century in the Holy Land in Palestine, right? And it was a big deal to have the rabbi call you to follow him. See, here was Jesus and these disciples, and they were in Galilee, which is the northern region of the Holy Land. And in Galilee, every one of these little towns had a synagogue, you know, and a rabbi. And the children there, they grew up and they went to Torah school. Torah school was kind of like our elementary school. And the Torah is the Jewish word for the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Well, every child from like a very young age up to about the age of 10 went to Torah school, and they actually memorized the first five books of the Bible. Can you imagine? By 10 years old, these kids had like the Torah memorized. It's just amazing. Okay, some of you hadn't even read the Torah, and they've got it memorized. And after that, you know, most children went on to learn their family trades. Certainly little girls learned how to take care of the home. That's just how life was back then. But only the smartest kids, the best of the best, they actually kept going to the next level of school. And in the next level of school, these kids studied with the rabbi, and they actually memorized the entire Old Testament, what we call the Hebrew Tanakh. Have you ever read the whole Testament before? Some of you fell asleep like reading the book of Leviticus, and these kids memorized the whole thing. I mean, these are some really smart kids. These are the bright kids, okay? Well, if you were really smart, you made it one step further. Everybody else went on to the family trade, but the best of the best of the best, the cream of the crop, like the Harvard MIT kids, okay? They had the opportunity to actually apprentice with the rabbi to study and become a rabbi. This was like studying with an expert in your field to get like your PhD. So here's what these kids would do, the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the smartest kids who had the most potential. They would kind of have their eye on a certain rabbi that they wanted to be like. Because every little Jewish kid in this day wanted to be a rabbi. It's like kids who want to grow up to be rock stars or you know, athletes. Well, these were the rock stars of their time. They all wanted to be just like the rabbi. And the kids who really had it, they would follow a certain rabbi. They would watch him and decide, this is the rabbi I want to follow. And they would go to him. And they would say, Rabbi, I want to follow you. I want to be your disciple. And the rabbi would question them. He would test their knowledge of the law and of the Torah and of the Old Testament. And if they didn't have it, he would say, no, you're not ready. Go ply your family trade. Go learn your family trade. You're not ready yet, which was the heartbreaking news for the kid. But if the rabbi thought they really had it, if the rabbi saw potential in that kid and thought this kid could really become something, this kid could really do it, then he would say, come, follow me. And that kid would follow his rabbi everywhere. He would follow him. He would learn from him. He would become his disciple. He would learn how he interpreted the law and the commandments of God, and he would follow him. And it was a great honor. Now, we've probably all been there before. We've all had hopes that have been dashed before. Any of you ever tried out for a sports team when you were a kid and you didn't make the starting lineup, or you didn't make the basketball team because there was only so many spots on the team, right? Maybe you had hopes of getting into a certain college. You had your top five list and you didn't get into the college that you had hoped to get into. Or maybe we've all interviewed for a position before that we didn't get, or put in for a job opportunity that was the job of our dreams that we didn't get. We've been there before, haven't we? We know like this disappointment. Now, fast forward back to our story. Back to our story, Matthew chapter 4. Here are a bunch of fishermen. And Jesus, this great rabbi, this teacher, this miracle worker, this prophet, he comes up to these guys. He shows up and he calls them to follow him. He calls them to follow him. Remember, the rabbis only picked the best and the brightest kids. So this was a great honor. These guys were what? What were they doing? They were fishermen. They were doing the family trade. What does that tell us? They weren't the cream of the crop. They weren't the smartest kids. They weren't the Harvard, MIT kids of their time. They weren't the best of the best. They were doing the family trade. They had been forgotten. They didn't have that great opportunity. And here's Jesus. He shows up and he calls them and he gives them the chance of a lifetime. This was like getting into the college of your dreams. This was like landing an internship with the best company on Wall Street that you've always dreamed of working for. Here they are, a bunch of fishermen, a bunch of ordinary guys, and Jesus calls them to follow him. It's amazing once you understand the background a little bit, isn't it? Here's what we learn from this story. Jesus calls ordinary people to live radical, extraordinary lives of purpose. Jesus uses ordinary people. Jesus was saying, like, this movement is for the ordinary person. My kingdom is for the ordinary person. And we know that's how Jesus lived his life. He reached out to the forgotten and the marginalized. He reached out to the sinners and the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the everyday ordinary people who had been forgotten. He said, there's a place for you. There's a place for you in my kingdom. Come follow me. Jesus gave ordinary people an extraordinary opportunity. Radical, radical purpose. He didn't call them because they were qualified or impressive. And you know what we do many times? Many times as Christians, like we have this temptation to disqualify ourselves. You know, we think about ourselves as Christians, and maybe we look at certain Christians or pastors or missionaries like Brandon who are doing great things around the world or you know, other people. And we think, you know, I could never be that kind of Christian. I could never be that kind of person. Like, you don't understand my past. You don't know my story. You don't know the mistakes I've made. You don't know my habits and my hangups. You don't know how much I'm struggling with my Christian life right now. Like, many times my spiritual life feels like one step forward, two steps back. Like, sometimes I'm even wondering how this Christian thing is working out for me. I don't know, you know, how I could touch the world or make a big difference. We kind of disqualify ourselves sometimes. We kind of listen to negative voices and we echo those things back to ourselves. And in so many ways, we feel like we could never make a difference or be that great of a Christian. But can I tell you that I have good news for you? God is into using ordinary people. God is into using, and in fact, the only people who have ever made a difference in God's kingdom are ordinary people. If you read the scriptures are filled with stories of ordinary people, people who had problems, people who had hang-ups, okay? Look at Moses. Moses was a murderer. David was an adulterer. Peter was a doubter. Jesus, that's all he does is use people who have problems, people who are broken, who have passed, who have messed up, people who are screw-ups. Those are the kind of people that Jesus uses. Those are the kind of people God uses. And so we've got to stop disqualifying ourselves. Now, back to our story for just a moment. Jesus calls this bunch of fishermen. Here's Jesus, this great teacher, this great rabbi. He shows up, Sea of Galilee, and he calls these fishermen. Then he would go on to call some others, the very first disciples, and he calls them to follow him. He gives them the opportunity of a lifetime. The opportunity to intern with the Son of God. Come on, how many of you know that looks pretty good on your resume? Internship with the Son of God. Not bad. He calls these guys to follow him, and think about the things they saw. I mean, they were sitting on the mountain that day when Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, when he taught the Beatitudes. Think about Jesus' first miracle. You know, he turned water into wine. Jesus goes to a wedding and he turns water into Dom Perignon. And these guys get to drink it. They're there. How amazing, right? They saw the miracles. They watched Jesus open the eyes of the blind. They saw Jesus raise a little dead girl back to life. They were there at the Last Supper. They had front row tickets to the Last Supper. They were there when Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fish. By the way, that's a miracle I'd like to see. The multiplication. When I get to heaven one day, I'm going to order a large pepperoni pizza and go to Jesus and be like, Jesus, let me see you do that one again. You know, where you multiply. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to be handing out slices to everybody. Kind of the New York version of that miracle. But they were there. They were there. They got this amazing things they got to see. They were there at the crucifixion. They were witnesses to the resurrection. And they were there before Jesus ascended back to the Father. He gathered them on this mountain and he said, all authority has been given to me under heaven and earth. Go and make disciples. Go and preach the gospel to all nations. Like, I'm turning it all over to you. I'm giving you my legacy, my ministry, my mission. Go and build the church. And these guys, these bunch of ordinary, ragtag, regular, overlooked, ordinary guys, go out and do something extraordinary. And they change the world. They do it. They go out and change the world. It's an amazing thing. And we're here today because of them. We're here today because of the apostles and the disciples. Jesus said, go to the, you know, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we think about that. We think about the jungles of Africa or something like that. But Jesus said this. He was standing in the Holy Land in Palestine. So when he was saying this, New York was the uttermost parts of the earth. We're here today, America. The gospel got to you and me because the disciples went out and they did it. It's a bunch of ordinary guys. It's an amazing thing. What an extraordinary opportunity they had. And can I tell you this morning, we have to get a hold of this fresh. To be a follower of Jesus Christ is to be a disciple. To be a Christian is to be a disciple. And we've been called to be a part of the same legacy, this same mission. God entrusts his kingdom, his church, to ordinary people like you and me. But with his purpose, with his touch on our lives, we can do extraordinary things. We can do extraordinary things. Now, let me just land the plane with this. This is New York. And many of you, you're here because you are the brightest and the best. Some of you were born here. You're locals. Many of us moved here from different cities, different places. Many of you moved here because you had a great opportunity. Maybe you had the opportunity of a lifetime. Maybe you landed a job with a company, or you came here for a great opportunity. You got moved to this area. You've worked hard to make it here. You have to work hard to make it here. You can't stay here, right? If I can make it there, I can make it anywhere. You can't live here if you haven't worked hard. And many of you are here because of your hard work and your dedication and your career. But here's the truth. Probably not many of us in here feel like spiritual rock stars. Probably not many of us in here feel like the cream of the crop spiritually, the best of the best. Come on. Not many of us in here would say, you know, Pastor, I pray so much. My friends come to me and say, you ought to get another pastime because all you do is pray. Nobody can get through to you. It's just you and Jesus all the time. Can you make time for somebody else in your life? Anybody? Any of you, like, you just read the Bible so much. You're like in the bathroom and your spouse is wondering, what are you doing in there? I'm memorizing the Old Testament. Anybody? Anybody here, like, you're having fights with your significant other because you're giving away all your money to the poor. You're just like, I'm going to sell my possessions and give to the poor. Jesus said, give to the poor. And they're fighting with you. No, we got to pay the rent. Anybody? Any of you, you find yourself to be a bottomless well of grace and forgiveness. So much grace and love and patience for everybody. No, you know what I think? Most of us in here, if we just had an honest moment this morning in church, we're very aware of our shortcomings, aren't we? Most of us, we're very aware of our shortcomings, of our hang-ups, of our mistakes. Many of us, we're a little bit frustrated if we're honest. On some days, we wonder how this Christianity thing is working out for us. Some of us feel a little bit frustrated in our progress. We thought we'd be further along by now. Some of us are like, man, I'm still dealing with some hang-ups. I'm still dealing with some bad habits. I'm still dealing with some addictive tendencies. I'm still dealing with negative thinking. I'm still dealing with forgiveness. After all these years, I still want to kill that person. I thought I'd be over it by now. Come on. Most of us in here, we're very aware of the fact that we're not the Christian that we really want to be. Deep down on the inside, the Christian we aspire to be. And you know, we look at Jesus and we're touched by him. We look at the story of Jesus, how he loved people. We look at his compassion. We look at the way he loved the forgotten. We look at his self-sacrifice, how he went to the cross to redeem humanity. And we're awed by his story, right? I never cease to be amazed by the story of Jesus. I never cease to be touched by the life of Jesus. And I'm sure you're like me. You look at Jesus and you think, man, I'm in this because I want to be like him. And I want to be the Christian that he called me to be. I want to be the follower that he called me to be. But the distance between you and Jesus feels unfathomable. Like, how could I ever be like him? With all of my flaws, with all of my tendencies, with my past, with my mistakes, with my personality, with my hang-ups, like, how could I ever be like Jesus? But here's the good news I have for you this morning, church. Jesus believes in you even when you don't believe in yourself. Come on, he believes in us even when we don't believe in ourselves. Remember, the rabbi only calls you to follow him if he believes you can do it. And he looks inside of you and me and he sees something by faith. He sees who you can be in him. He sees your potential. He sees the love and the purpose and the dignity and the worth that he puts inside of you. And he says, I believe you can do it. And I'm calling you, come follow me. You can do this. You can be like me. You can live this thing out. You can do it. You can make a difference. Your life has great purpose. Your life has great worth. Can I tell you that Jesus voted with his life when he came to this planet and he went to the cross to redeem us from our brokenness? He said, I'm voting with my whole life. I'm all in because I believe in you. Because I didn't just come to free people from their sins, but I came to create a people for myself, a church. And that's why we're here today. That's why we're here today, because Jesus casted a vote of faith in our direction. And he believed there would be a people on this planet who would represent him, a people who would carry his heart. No, we're not going to be perfect. Oh, we're going to have some mistakes along the way. But he wanted some people that he could so pour his grace into us that it would overflow from our broken lives to touch other people. And that's who we're called to be. That's who we're called to be. So I want to tell you this morning, he believes in you. He believes in you. We talk so much about having faith in him, but can I tell you this morning, God has faith in you, or Jesus wouldn't have called you to be his follower. And so here's what we're going to do for the next few weeks. For the next few weeks, we're going to dig into this. We're going to get intentional about this whole following Jesus thing. We want to start a conversation. I often say that the sermon is just the beginning of the conversation. There's a conversation you have to have between you and God. But what would it look like for you to more fully embrace this truth? That you could be like him, that you could follow Jesus, that he could use your life. We want to embrace this truth. We want to take a good look at our lives, but it starts with two things today. Two things today. Number one, we're going to stop disqualifying ourselves. Some of you, you've had a voice of negativity in you for a long time. Somebody said something about you. The enemy whispered a lie to you. Heck, you've repeated those things to yourself. Sometimes your own worst voice is the voice in your head, the things you say to yourself about yourself. We're going to stop disqualifying ourselves, because now we have no excuse, because we know that God is into using ordinary people. No perfect people need apply to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And then number two, we're going to say yes to Jesus. We're going to say yes to Jesus. Come on, you never graduate from giving your yes to Jesus. Some of you said yes to Jesus when you were a child. Some of you have said yes to Jesus in the past few years and finding your way back to this church. But can I tell you, ultimately, the essence of being a Christian is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And he's calling to you and to me afresh to follow him, to love him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And the posture of our hearts over the next few weeks is to say, Jesus, it starts with me saying yes to you. Yes to you. And you know what that's going to cause us to do? It's going to cause us to look at our lives. It's going to cause us to rearrange some things, to change some things, because we're going to say, how does my life align with the greatest purpose? If I made the greatest purpose of my life to follow you, Jesus, with everything I have, what would I let go of and what would I embrace? Where would I make some changes in my time, my money, my focus, my relationships, my thinking, my words? And so we're going to begin a little journey for the next few weeks. Because God, we want everything you have for us. What a shame it would be for you and me, people who have been given the opportunity of a lifetime to live ordinary lives, when Jesus calls us to radical lives of purpose. Listen, I don't know what your next step's going to be. A lot of times the extraordinary things are in the everyday ordinary things, aren't they? It may start with you just loving your family better. Just loving the person in front of you. It might be sponsoring a child today. You want to make a difference in the world? Go out and sponsor a child. Go out and talk to Brandon and find out how you can get online and sponsor one of these kids. You want to teach your kids how to be someone who makes a difference in this world, how to have a generous heart? Go sponsor one of these kids. Come on, we're called to make a difference in this world. We're the church of Jesus Christ. We're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. Let's embrace it. Let's embrace it. Come on, stand with me this morning. I want to pray with you. Pray for you. We're going to pray into this for just a moment. Stand with me. Let's just make this personal today as we recommit our lives to him this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the great purpose over our lives today. God, we thank you that you take ordinary people like us, everyday ordinary people like us, and you include us in your plan, in your purpose, your people, your church. We're so honored today, God. You've given us the opportunity of a lifetime. And don't let us take it for granted today, God. So we say yes to you, Jesus. Would you say that with me? Yes, Jesus. I want to follow you. I want to give you my heart. I want to love you with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. God, we want to let go of the things that have held us back from following you fully. We're going to stop disqualifying ourselves. Lord, today we let go of the negative thoughts. We let go of the negative things that people have said about us, the lies of the enemy. And Lord, today we choose to believe that we can be who you've called us to be. We can do the things you've called us to do. We can speak the things you've called us to speak because we're your followers and you believe in us. You put your spirit in us to do it. And so we give you our yes today. And I want to take a moment to pray for the person who's never done that before. Maybe you've never said, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. Maybe you did it years ago. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you've been to Sunday school, been to catechism, been there, done that. But you've never come to the place of saying, I'm making this decision for myself. If that's you, would you pray with me? Just pray under your breath, Jesus, I give you my yes today. Jesus, I give you my yes. I want to follow you. I want to know you. I turn from my past. I turn from my sins, and I embrace you today. I embrace a new future in you. I believe you are who you say you are, that you are the Son of God, that you died for me, that you resurrected for me, and that you've given me new life. And I receive you into my life today. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.